The Apostles' Creed is the historic organized statement of faith of all of the basic doctrines of Christianity. No one knows who wrote it. No one knows exactly when it was written, but we do know that parts of it were used in the very first century by the earliest Christians in Rome. And therefore, it was originally written in Latin. And then it was translated into languages all over the world, including the English language. And when it was recorded in the English language, guess what? It was in the King James English language. And we don't talk that way anymore. But a lot of people still love the poetic, beautiful way in which the King James language renders the Bible. A lot of people love the King James translation of the Bible. Many churches have moved on to other modern translations, but as we have. But we continue to pray in King James. Our Father who art in heaven, I mean, that's just one example. We don't think anything of it. As far as the Apostles' Creed is concerned, I've noticed something. Occasionally, when we recite the creed together, especially if it's from memory rather than reading it, when we recite the creed together, some people seem to hesitate a little bit when they get to the end of the creed, where it says, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And then they kind of relax when they get to Amen. They're kind of glad to get there, and I wonder why that is. And maybe it's possible that they are afraid that they might mess up the order of those six doctrines. I've done that. Have you ever done that? You know what? It's especially embarrassing to do that if you're the leader standing up in front of everybody. I did that once or twice, and I thought, oh, dear. Or there may be another possibility. And it may be they're hesitant because they don't really know what those doctrines are all about. And the old language, the old King James, can be also a little confusing, especially Holy Ghost, Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints. What is all that about? And some churches have modernized the creed to make that more clear. But many churches have not. They've kept the old English because people have memorized it that way. And we certainly don't want to tamper with tradition, do we? Never. So, on one Sunday morning months ago, we were reciting the creed, and we got to those lists at the closing, and everybody said, I believe in the Holy Ghost, except for one woman in here who said, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I heard that letter S invade the room. And that may be because I was trained as a choral conductor and I hear things like that. But I heard that S and I wondered, was that deliberate on her part? Or was it a slip of the tongue on her part? And I wondered if there are other people who struggle with the word ghost in the creed. Yes, there are. In fact, one person in this room approached me just about 2 or 3 weeks ago asking that very question. And I said, well, guess what? I'm planning to preach on that. And today's the day. And I readily understand that because our culture identifies the word ghost with horror movies and supernatural and other negative things. By the way, while some people question saying the word ghost in the creed, they probably don't think twice about saying, and sitteth on the right hand of God, or from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Nor do they think twice about singing the doxology, praise Father, Son, and Holy. Okay, don't think about it. It's simply tradition, tradition. And who wants to mess with tradition, right? You know, saying the word ghost will not hurt you unless you don't understand the meaning of the word. So I decided to revisit, we've done this before in a sermon series, the Apostles' Creed. I decided to revisit the closing doctrines of the Apostles' Creed for a couple of reasons. One is to make sure that we're on the same page about them in understanding. But the other is to focus on this question. What do you actually believe when you declare those doctrines? King James or no King James? What do you believe? And today we begin our journey with the Holy Ghost. Ghost is an old English word for the word spirit. There, that's it. It's very simple. And it's a fine word. The literal definition of the word ghost is this: an active, moving energy, like the wind. That's one of the ways the Bible describes the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Is the word ghost better than the word spirit? No, not at all. They're interchangeable. Both of those words refer to the breath of God. The breath of God. An active, moving energy, like the wind. And we're told in the Bible that the breath of God breathed life throughout the globe, throughout the universe. Think about this. You may not like me, but guess what? The Holy Spirit breathed life into me. I may not like you, but guess what? The Holy Spirit breathed life into you too. And together, we may not like that cab driver. We may not like that waitress. We may not like our neighbor. But guess what? The Holy Ghost breathed life into them too. An active, moving energy, like the wind. In these illustrations, I started to include some other denominations and some other races, but I decided to leave that out. Do you remember that famous conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3 about being born again? And this is part of what Jesus said. He said, "You should not be surprised by my saying you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Even Jesus described the Holy Spirit as being like the wind. In the Old Testament, God tells us that the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, empowered people. It also says that he gave some people artistic gifts. It says that he inspired the authors of the Old Testament to write what they wrote, and the New Testament. It says that the Holy Spirit gave wisdom and courage and supernatural knowledge to some people, and far more. He has also done that for you. Absolutely. He has done that for you. You would not be empowered. You would not be artistic You would not be wise unless the Holy Spirit of God breathed on you. Hallelujah. And it says that the Spirit power is everywhere. David even said in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your Spirit?" Capital S. Where can I go from your Spirit? You're everywhere. That means that God's Holy Spirit is right here. Right now. Where you are. No matter where you are. Your feet may take you to some unholy places. And subconsciously, you may be saying, "God, you stay out here while I go in there. I'll be back." But it doesn't work that way. Wherever you go, His Holy Spirit is there with you like the wind. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Did you ever sing that song to your children or grandchildren? Or Sunday school. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, there are many other symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, like fire, a dove, oil, living water. Can you imagine saying the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the holy fire," or "I believe in the holy dove"? No, I think the original authors came up with a good word when they came up with the word ghost. You and I respond to the Holy Spirit in different ways. That's universally true of everyone. Some in the Old Testament are described as responding to the Holy Spirit in terror and being very frightened, and some are that way still today. Some responded with ecstasy and fainting, and some people still do that today. And some respond to the Holy Spirit with exultation and praise, and some still do that today. What is the common denominator in all of those illustrations? It's the word respond. Respond. The ghost, the wind, the breath of God overwhelmed people in various ways, and they could not help but respond to Him. How about you? How about you? How do you respond to the Holy Spirit? In your heart, how do you respond? In your head, how do you respond? When you recite the Apostles' Creed, do you declare that you believe in the presence and the power of the living God as if you are reading the telephone book? You do remember the telephone book, right? I believe in the Holy Ghost. I've seen it, I've heard it countless times. In fact, you could say that about all the doctrines of the Apostles' Creed. When we say them, sometimes we just yawn through them. Do you say it because it's in the order of worship? Or do you say it because the leader says, "Let's do it"? Or do you proclaim it? Do you proclaim it to the Lord and to one another with conviction? Conviction of one whose life has been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that is one of the primary functions of the Holy Spirit, and that is He softens your stony heart. Praise God. And He brings you to the throne of grace of God Almighty, the King of Kings, as one whose life has been changed. Hallelujah. You know, there's enough excitement in the Old Testament alone about the Holy Spirit to drown out all the noise of the fans of a football stadium. And then you come to the New Testament. The dam bursts like a mighty river, and life could never be the same because the wind of God blew into Bethlehem and changed our lives forever, brothers and sisters. The ball game changed. Everything's new. Everything's different. The mind-blowing truth is that Jesus Christ was fully human. He was fully God, and he himself is the Holy Spirit. Wow! That's the Presbyterian hallelujah. I was taught that years ago. Wow! Hallelujah! And he is present in my body. He is present in your body. He is with us. Do I fully understand that? No. Do you fully understand that? No. But do we believe that? Yes. By faith we believe that. That's how it's possible to believe it. By faith. We have faith in the divine revelation that God has given us, that the wind blew into our lives in the form of a man. And we know that we know that we know that we know. And Jesus was fully empowered to breathe the Holy Spirit into his disciples in the upper room and establish his body here on earth called the church. And we're a part of it. So when you, by faith, say that you believe in the Holy Ghost, you are embracing all of that, everything that we've talked about. What a powerful testimony that is. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Oh my. What a powerful testimony that is. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe it with all your heart? Then may your heart be stirred within you every time you declare it. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I dare you. When you stand before God and say that you believe, don't read the telephone book to him. Now, as the New Testament unfolded, God gave us some more information about the Holy Spirit. John called the Holy Ghost our counselor. Do any of you need counsel from God? Anything happening in your life that needs some direction? Someone who will listen and guide you? Jesus called the Holy Ghost our comforter. Do any of you need comfort? That's the Holy Spirit. Paul said it was through the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus was raised from the dead. There's another Presbyterian wow. And we learned that we are born again through the Holy Spirit. And we receive gifts from the Holy Ghost. Some of them are supernatural gifts. And we inherit and we cultivate attributes and attitudes in our lives that are called the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And get this, we've already said it, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit here on earth. That is enough. That list is enough to fill all the libraries of the seminaries of the entire world. And when you say it, that you declare that you believe it, you're encompassing all of that. Wow. But above all, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the primary role is to make sure that your compass is pointed toward Jesus. Jesus points us to God the Father. And God the Father points his finger at you and me and says, do you believe? And your answer is, yes, I believe. The Holy Spirit is a powerful entity, a wonderful, wonderful gift of God. Can you imagine how much better this world would be if all of the Christians in this world were to live Holy Spirit-filled lives? Watch out, world. Things are going to change if and when that happens. How do we do that? Well, we ask the Holy Spirit of God for help. Take control of my life. I like to be in control. Do you like to be in control? Lord, take control of my life. And then watch out, world. How are you doing with all that? Are you living a Holy Spirit-filled life? You know, all of us can be a lot like old Elias. Elias was an old mountain man in North Carolina. And Elias one day came down from the mountain and he was all dressed up in a suit and a tie. And he was carrying a Bible under his arm. And one of his friends saw him there and he said, Elias? Elias, where are you going all dressed up like that? I used to talk that way when I lived in North Carolina. But I've been redeemed. I know that accent. Elias said, well, I've been reading about New Orleans. And I hear there in New Orleans, there's some free running liquor and a lot of gambling and some good naughty shows. And I want to go there. And the friend said, well, Elias, if you're going to go down there to New Orleans, why are you carrying a Bible under your arm? And he said, well, if it's as good as they say it is, I might stay till Sunday. Well, it is Sunday. And here you are. Where were you this past week? Were you in New Orleans? Or were you walking the path of righteousness for his name's sake? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Don't answer the question that I just asked you, because we all know that all of us are in a process of sanctification. We're not there yet. We're getting there. We all need the grace of God and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit by the mighty wind of God. And that's something that we cannot do alone. And you cannot do it for one another. Only God's Holy Spirit can do that. There was a fifth grade Sunday school class that was studying the Apostles' Creed, and the teacher was trying to help the children memorize the creed, and she came up with a creative way to do it. She gave one phrase per child, and she sat them in order, and the child would stand up and say their phrase and sit down and stand up and say. And so every Sunday for months, and this went very well, one Sunday the first little girl stood up and she said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. And then she sat down. And then the next, the little boy stood up and he said, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And then he sat down. And it went just perfectly until there was a silence. And the kids looked around like, what's wrong? And one little girl figured it out. She said, teacher, I'm sorry, but the Holy Ghost is absent today. How could that be? If the Holy Ghost is everywhere, all the time, living in me and you, how is it possible for the Holy Spirit to be absent? Well, it's not. However, we can push him aside. And I have known many churches who have pushed the Holy Spirit aside. Have you? I've known many Christians who are afraid of the Holy Spirit. No. It does not erase the fact that he's here right now. A.W. Tozer was a great Christian author and pastor, and he wrote this awful statement. He said, listen carefully, if the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would still go on, and nobody would know the difference. Wow. But then he added this. But if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everyone would know the difference. Double wow. I want to worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't you? And I'll tell you, I want to walk with him between Sundays in spirit and truth too. Don't you? If you're like me, you've probably been in churches that's pushed the Holy Spirit off into a corner somewhere, and they've replaced it with something like politics, bickering, selfishness, and indifference. That's not who we are, brothers and sisters. And by the grace of God, as long as I have anything to say about it, that we will never be that way. So when you say that you believe in the Holy Ghost, please consider that to be margarine. But when you embrace him and you live through him and you allow him to control your life, consider that to be butter. And we all know that butter makes everything taste better. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for taking the veil off of my eyes and the eyes of my brothers and sisters, that we may see your empowering Holy Spirit. We may experience you. We may walk with you and be with you. Oh God, we want to be yours, totally yours. So, Spirit of God, breathe on us afresh. To the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.